Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Soul Living City.
This is your co-host, Tabitha Jones, and your host, Linda.
Hey. Hello, everybody.
And we're glad to be here today. Sorry I missed you all last week. Glad to be back. Today we're going to talk about moving past the grudge with the father, mother of your child. Sometimes when we hold grudges, and grudge is a persistent feeling of ill will or resentment resulting from a past insult or injury. Be resentfully unwilling to give, grant, or allow something. Sometimes when we hold grudges with the exes or so forth, we have a tendency not realizing how it can affect the child. The children, in you know, they're put in the middle. I want to read a little poem by Lexi Gill on holding grudges. Holding a grudge is only going to hold you back, and I'm sorry for that simple but true fact, because everyone who enters your life can be a blessing, and all those bad thoughts will eventually be depressed. People can change, and that is something you have to realize. Because making mistakes is part of being alive. I understand that not all deeds can be forgiven, but just the small ones could perhaps be seen in a different vision. The past is the past, and now is now. So don't always hold grudges. Find a way, if you can forgive them, then try your hardest, too, because forgiving them will be the best for you. And that's basically look about what we're going to talk about is grudges. And we're going to play a little bit of Promise by the Vanessa Bell Armstrong. Enjoy.
He's working things out, just you believe. Hold on to your faith, and you will see. God will never make a promise that he won't keep. He's working things out, you just believe. Hold on to your faith, and you will see. God will never make a promise that he won't keep.
A promise when it comes from God.
I hope you enjoy Promise by Vanessa Bell Armstrong. Now I'm going to read you an article by Ann Cass. It's called Parents Teach Children to Hold Grudges. Listen to this carefully because it's very deep. Most parents know that children learn by watching their parents. It is also true that children instinctively know that talk is cheap. When a parent says one thing but does the opposite, it is the behavior that the child learns from, not the words. Like, all parents, divorced parents, want their children to grow up to embrace certain values and behaviors. They want their children to grow up to be kind, courteous, and truthful. They also want their children to sustain friendships and family. Sustaining friendships and family requires that one know how to forgive, because friends and family members inevitably make mistakes that, if unforgiven, will destroy the relationship. Unfortunately, all too many divorced parents do not show their children these values. Parents who say cruel and hurtful things to and about one another are teaching their children to be unkind and rude. Parents who deceive one another are teaching their children to lie. Even worse, some divorced parents actually enlist the children in telling them things like, don't tell your mother and don't tell your father, are invitations to be dishonest. Parents who attack and counterattack one another, each harboring grudges and seeking revenge from past wrongs, are teaching the most dangerous lessons of all. These parents are teaching their children not to forgive. Ironically, all of the skills parents need to teach their children, and the skill of forgiveness, is one of the most important to their own future relationship with their child. Children always have much for which to forgive their parents, because parents inevitably make so many mistakes in raising their children. Parents do not intentionally injure their children. No parent ever gets up in the morning and asks, what can I do that will damage my child for the rest of his or her life? But many parents do and say things that inflict wounds their children suffer from long into adulthood. And there are adults who remain angry at their parents, sometimes forever. They don't forgive. Perhaps their parents never showed them what forgiveness looked like. Divorced parents who refuse to give up their resentment of one another are teaching their children to hold on to resentment. That may come back to haunt the parents. And I thought that was a really good article. I'm a single parent. Yeah, I'm a single parent, and my relationship with the fathers are I try to be conscious of the things I say around my children about their parents, about their fathers. You know, I try really hard, and sometimes, you know, you slip up. You know, everybody makes mistakes. But in the long run, I want them to have a relationship built upon what they have with their fathers, instead of me saying something negative and they're looking at how I feel about it and not how they feel about the situation. And it's, you know, me and my children's father have a good relationship, and a lot of people can't believe how close we are due to the fact we're not together. And I have to explain that just because you're not with the father, your relationship didn't work out, doesn't mean that you can't have a good relationship outside of not being together. And I want to give you a couple of quotes, a couple of scriptures, actually, from the Bible on grudges. You know, Proverbs 20:22, do not say, I will repay evil. Wait for the Lord, and he will deliver you. Ephesians 4:32, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. Proverbs 19:11. Good sense makes one slow to anger, and it is his glory to overlook an offense. Mark 11:25, and whenever you stand praying, forgive if you have anything against anyone, so that your Father also, who is in heaven, may forgive you as well as your trespass. And I think that those are some good things for us to kind of look at and go on, because sometimes we get so caught up in grudges and anger of what they did to you, and it's in the past. And sometimes you have to learn, you know, don't be so stubborn. Talk about it. Release it. Let it go. Let them, you know, say, look, you hurt my feelings, and I feel this way because of this. But we have a child together. And in order for us to, our child to show that, you know, there is love, we have to show them. You know, we lead them by example. And sometimes we don't really realize how much it affects the child, you know, because children don't want to see their parents hating each other. And, you know, of course there's going to be arguments sometimes, but kids don't want to see their parents where my mom and dad can't stand each other. And we don't really realize. Sometimes we get in a selfish mode, and we think about ourselves and not the child and how this is really affecting the child. You know, it can affect the child's health. I mean, it can, you know, it can drive them into a state of depression. There's so many psychological aspects of it that we don't really think about or really realize, you know.
They start getting poor grades in school and everything.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right about that. They do start getting poor grades in school and to themselves. And, you know, you may want to look at some things in your child's behavior. Some of them act out. I mean, you need to look at some of those things and see, you know, what's going on. Sometimes you can't figure it out, but if you sit back and just analyze the situation, you might come to realize that it's actually you who's causing the problem. And I know that may be a hard pill to swallow, but sometimes you have to look at self and say, okay, how am I acting in front of my child? Am I doing this way? Am I doing that way? When their father or their mother comes around, how am I acting? What is my aura to their parents? You know, sometimes we hinder our children from relationships with their fathers or mothers based on how they treat us. But that you shouldn't base the relationship on that. You should let the child have an opportunity to have a relationship with their parent. Every child deserves a relationship with their parent if the parent is willing to be there for the child, regardless of what you had going on. You know, you have to pray, you know, pray to the Lord and ask him to help you, you know, to be able to forgive. And, you know, I know certain situations sometimes can make you think about certain things and, like, should I really do this or really do that? And that's when you go into prayer. And, you know, we have talked about this before. When you pray, sometimes you have to stop and listen instead of cutting it off by saying amen. You need to listen to what the Lord has to say to you, and he'll give you your answer. And, you know, we're going to talk about, Linda's going to talk about how to stop, you know, holding grudges and give you some tips on how to make it a little bit better for you.
Okay. Well, and Tabitha, you have some great points. And I, you know, one of the reasons why I wanted to bring this up, this whole subject about grudges with your ex or whatever and how that's hindering our children, because especially in the black community, you know, there are, and actually it's not even black and white, it's all communities. Sometimes, you know, we as women and men too, I'm not really just picking on the women, but we use our children as pawns in a relationship. The relationship with the man didn't work out. Maybe he's gone on and he's met somebody else. You know, sometimes you have to deal with the emotions that you're having about him going on with his life or her going on with her life. You know, sometimes you have to deal with the emotion about how you feel about this other relationship with that other person. You got to be honest about those feelings. Are you a little jealous because maybe he, in your mind, in your perception, you feel like he treats her better than he ever treated you? There are some things that you have to deal with in this whole, you know, situation. And this is something I really can talk about. I have two adult children, but I spent time as a single parent a lot of that time. And here are some questions that I beg for people that have children to ask themselves. Am I using my child as a pawn? Because I talked about that. Do I still care about him? You know, really ask yourself, because a lot of times when we're angry, so angry and bitter at this person, deep down you still care about them. You're still in love with them, and you haven't dealt with those feelings. Yeah. Some of that is grief that the relationship has stopped. Have I dealt with any feelings of anger, bitterness, or jealousy? And be honest, if these things are so severe, do I need some professional help? You know, we have to be honest. Sometimes you need professional help. You know, do you need a coach? Do you? Sometimes it's beyond a coach. Coaches help you get through a short-term process with things. They partner with you, ask you probing questions, and help you short-term get through a goal. And, you know,
yes.
Tabitha and I are both life coaches and would help anybody that needed that short-term help. You don't have a severe problem, but you have to have skills and tools to get through this short-term problem. When it's a long-term
yes.
problem and it's affecting every area of your life and you really are into anger and severe depression, you need to seek counseling. And we need to be sometimes honest with that has happened. Some other things you might want to think about when you are dealing with being angry with your ex is that sometimes we get a payoff for being angry. You know, you get to tell your story about what he did to you and how he did it. You tell that story over and over again, and you get attention from people. With anger, sometimes you can punish. That's a way you can make his life miserable because he made your life miserable, and so you can use the anger as a punishment for your ex. For some people, anger motivates them. You know, and what I'm saying, it gives you the fuel to get up and do whatever you want to do each day. And that can be positive or negative, but when it goes the other way, sometimes your anger gets in the way and it keeps you from having pain. So that's kind of a good and a bad thing, but when it gets to the point that this is all you can think about. And here are detriments to some things that, you know, it's just not good because it's anger. At some point, rage hurts. You know, anger causes harm. If you experience frequent, uncontrollable anger or suppressed rage, you are hurting yourself both physically and mentally. And uncontrollable anger is, are you yelling at your kids? Because sometimes you are so angry, you don't even know what you're angry about. You yell at everybody. You're irritable. You know, you just have a bad attitude. You know, you just are not a pleasant person to be around. You get grumpy, like I was saying. Anger begets stress. Anger and hostility create stress in your mind and body, and stress throws your body off balance, and it constricts parts of your body, which in turn creates disease. Anger kills. You know, according to the National Institute of Health, many physical conditions can arise out of prolonged anger, such as coronary artery disease, heart attacks, high blood pressure, depression, headaches, eating disorder, digestion problems, diabetes, insomnia, skin problems, and depression. You have to let go of the anger. And it's not even about him. It's about you and your children. And here are some things that we can do to let go of the anger. First, take responsibility for your feelings. Nobody really has the responsibility or the ability to make you feel one way or another. You choose to be angry. So you have to take responsibility for how you're feeling. Count your blessings. You know, sometimes we have to be grateful for what we do have. Do you have a good relationship with your kids? Do you have other, you know, I'm single right now, but I have the best friends, and my children are awesome. And I have a great job. I'm striving to do some things, or I'm out on my own, this radio program, some coaching, some other things, some creative things. I'm grateful for it. So sometimes you just have to stop and count your blessings. You know, love on yourself. Find things that you enjoy doing. Mm-hmm. Pick out goals for yourself. Start working to accomplish them. Create love. Become the person you want to be and the kind of person you want somebody to love you back. Are you the person that you would want to be that would attract love? You know, and we do say this, you know, what are you saying to yourself? What is your self-talk? The other thing is don't deny that you're angry. You know, if you're angry, at least when you admit it, you can begin to do something with it. You have to forgive. You know, it's no other way. We talk a lot about forgiveness on this program. Forgive yourself if you feel like you were the person that caused the mess up in the relationship. Forgive yourself. And when you do all these positive things to get rid of the anger and to have a positive relationship with your ex, you are showing your children how to work through relationships. And that is so important. I said don't deny your anger. Right. You know, some people can get out their emotions and their feelings by writing in a journal, and it helps them to get rid of stuff. Exercise. Be healthy. Take care of yourself. Practice compassion, even for that person that you're feeling angry, because when you are showing compassion, you can't be angry and compassionate at the same time. And when you're angry, don't send an email or a text. And I'm from personal experience, you will end up regretting what you said or did in that moment. So when you're feeling your angriest, don't send no email or a text or do any of that right on their Facebook page, because stay off their Facebook page when you're angry with them.
Leave them alone,
Leave them alone. You go your way and let them go theirs.
Right.
At a time when you can talk, if there was a situation that brought on that you became really angry for whatever reason, gauge your anger on 1 to 10. 10 being the most angry, you almost feel like you can harm yourself or somebody else, and 1 being not that angry. When you gauge your anger, you can decide when or when not to talk to somebody. And don't talk to anybody or have a conversation with somebody when you're at a 10. You're not going to resolve anything, and the whole conversation is really just a mute point. Pray, breathe, and allow God to handle the situation. Sometimes we just got to give a situation over to God. You know, and just from personal experience, I really wanted to talk about this because I do see, and I don't know if you know people, Tabitha, that have use their children as pawns in a, and I hate to say it, and it's been a lot of sisters that I know that have used their children as pawns because they're trying to get back at the man. And I'm so wanting to say to women, men too, you know, because now men have custody of their children, but don't use your children. Who are you really hurting? What do you have to say about that, Tabitha?
I have a lot to say about that because it really affects the child, and believe it or not, they can drop out of school. They can get into trouble with the law, abuse drugs, emotional distress. You know, there's so many things that, you know, you think that you're getting over, but actually you're harming your child. And when you harbor those things, then you hurt yourself as well. It's just
and that's
a
what
I'm seeing
through that. It is for everybody. It's a
situation.
For everybody. And we really need to teach our children, and this is what I'm seeing a lot in our community, and I have to bring it out because it is. We're raising a lot of angry brothers and angry black women. We all have that angry black woman syndrome because this anger then breeds, and it becomes like a generational curse.
Yes.
You know, you're angry. And then the people, they grow up in that angry environment. And then they're angry. Then we wonder why so many of our young men are in prison or, you know, we are in a cycle of we can't get married and, you know, we having baby and baby after baby out of wedlock. And I'm not just picking on our people. That's the thing. But we got to deal with and look at this.
The issue. Yes, and it takes work. You know, if you try to come to a medium with the person, you know, you try to talk it out, and not let it build up. Sometimes you just have to step out of your zone and look at the bigger picture. And the bigger picture is your child. You know, you don't realize that you become distant from your children sometimes. He or she looks so much like their father. And, you know, of course, that's part of the DNA. Of course, they're going to look like them in different ways, but that doesn't make it right for you to distance yourself because you're so mad at the man that you're distancing yourself from your child because every time you look at him or her, you see him or her. And it shouldn't be that way. You know, sometimes you have to just step out the box. Nobody's perfect, and everything is a work in progress. You know, I didn't have a relationship with my kid's father due to not having to work on it. You know, you have to work on it, and it is a group effort. You know, it's a group effort, and you have to say, you know, we need to do this for our child, you know, or children. You know, we need to do this for them. At the end of the day, they're the one who is the most important. You know,
and,
it's not about you.
Know,
it's not about him.
It is so
it's about
right.
The child.
It is for their highest good, so that we can, you know, we can produce healthy, harmonious children that are out here making a difference, a positive difference in the earth realm. And as single, you know, I can only speak from a mother's perspective. It's not like I'm picking on
mm-hmm.
mothers, but I'm speaking from the perspective
yeah.
of who I am. In order to have well-balanced children, that they have to get that from somewhere. And then my next thing is, you know, we have to be careful as women, men too, and I'm prefacing to women, but it's men too, and who you pick. When you get in a relationship, you know, some of it we have to put on ourselves. If that man was no good,
mm-hmm.
was cheating,
yes.
why did
yes.
you have children by him? Let's even take it back there.
Yes.
So when you get in a
yes.
relationship
you know what you got.
With somebody, you know what you got. So now
you know
you're angry at
you
him
know.
Because
you know.
He or she, I'm not going to just throw it on, he or she really is what you saw from the beginning. So whose fault really
yes.
is that?
Yes.
You know, so we have to take responsibility even for our choices and not even blame that, take that out on the man or the woman. You know, you have to almost take it back to this is the person I choose. And before, when I'm in a relationship and you become, let's be real, when you become sexual with somebody, you have to think this could be the perspective, my prospective father of my child. Is do I even want to take
mm-hmm.
it to that sexual part if this is not a man of integrity? This is not a man that I would want to be the father of my children.
Right. And if they weren't treating you right before you had a child, what makes you think they're going to treat you better when you get one?
I want to tell you.
Yes.
I just want to tell you.
You know what you had, you know.
You know what you had.
And I hate to say it like that. You know what you got before you lay down with it. You know
well,
what
and
it
that's
is.
The truth. It really is. What does, I think it's Maya Angelou say, when somebody show you or tell you who they are, believe them. Believe them.
Right.
So a lot of times when we are in relationships with these people, you know, before you even take that next step, like you said, to lay down, ask yourself, if we got in a pinch and I had a child, would this be the person that I want to have a child with? Because that's a lifetime sentence with this man, whether you married or not, or woman.
Or woman.
You know?
Yes.
Yeah, because we ain't throwing
no
out at one person or the other. Yes.
Right.
We just want people to think. And then when you have children, after if you've made a mistake, because I've made my share of my, but after you've made it, you know, whatever happened with that relationship, now the child, even if the father, mother does not want to participate in their life, I think it's very important that you don't talk negatively about the other person in front of that child. If he is not
mm-hmm.
in the person's life, all you can say is he is away. You know, you gauge it at what age they can understand something, and you let them draw their own conclusion as they get older. But don't talk negatively about the other parent.
Right. And please, exactly. And tell your children all your business and problems of what was going on in their relationship, because sometimes the child will begin to look at the father negatively, try to step
yeah.
in your shoes and feel bad because he treated you this way. And it's always two sides to a story. It's always two
and
sides.
You know,
so,
it is always. There is always that point where, you know, maybe they, because I mean, I had that, you know, my ex-husband, he may not have been the best husband, but he is an awesome father. And I feel like sometimes we have to separate that. However they were with
yeah.
you does not necessarily mean that they're a bad parent.
Right. Exactly. I so agree with that. Because that is so true. That is so true. And you need to give the child the opportunity to find out for themselves.
Right.
You know, what and build that relationship with their parent, you know. Because we're too busy trying to sabotage it, but in the end, we're hurting. And, you know, sometimes your children will hold a grudge with you. You know, why did you, you know, just because you and dad or you and mom went through this, why did you keep me from him or her? You know, Why did you make that decision for me? Now, 20 years later, I'm trying to build a relationship with my dad or mom because based off of your grudges and the problems that you had. And we don't really realize that. And you know, like the article said, it can come back to bite you in the end.
It can. And it's very hurtful when it does come. Because, you know, wherever y'all are at one point in your life, say y'all got together when you were 20, you know, when you're 40, both of you will be in different points of your lives. And you don't necessarily want to pay the price for what you thought when you were 20. You know, what I thought when I was 20 and how I acted and how I lived at 20 is a whole lot different than how I think, act, feel, and now at 54. So you both made mistakes along the way. Wisdom has grown. But you don't want to pay the price for something you did 20 years ago.
No, you don't.
You really
don't. You don't.
Well,
and again,
Tabitha,
I say, you know.
You go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was just saying, you know, and look at some of your children's behavior, and, you know, that could actually be the problem. You thinking it's something else, and it could be how you and the parent, you know, act around the child. You know, so, you know, talk to your children. You know, build a good rapport with them and have them where they can come talk to you and say, you know, without you fussing and yelling and screaming at the child, you know, say, what is the problem? You know, why are your grades this way? Why are you acting so, you know, to yourself? You know, are you doing drugs? Because sometimes, you know, a lot of people turn to drugs and things for an escape. You know, they're tired of different things, so they turn, and you're not realizing it. So that's why I say, you know, try to release and let go of those words. I know it's not going to be easy, and it's not an overnight thing. You know, it takes time, and it starts with forgiveness.
It has
you
to
have
start
to
with forgiveness. And as you were talking about, like, even kids, because a lot of young teenagers are turning to drugs, but then make sure you aren't setting a pattern for them because, you know, you're not getting along with this man or whatever. Are you drinking more? Are you doing things that sets a pattern and a precedent for them? You know, at a certain point, we have to be the adult. Yeah, we have to be the adult and put on our big girl panties and underwear and assume responsibility because we have children that we are trying to raise. And so sometimes you're going to have to make those tough decisions to be an adult, to try to get along with this person, not for you or him, but for the sake of your children.
You know, and it's starting with that forgiveness. And if your children see you setting an example of how to do those things, then later on in life they'll apply it. You know, might not
they
be
will.
Right when you want them to. You know, my daughter told me the other day, she said, Mother, I listen to everything that you say, but I'm just not right now applying it to my everyday life. And I said, oh, okay. Because, you know, I would say, you're not listening. Oh, yes, Mother, I listen to you. She said, and eventually I'll apply it when I'm ready. But if you set that example, then they'll know how to do those things.
And that is so true. I mean, as I like I said, I have adult children. I have a 34-year-old that will bring things back to my remembrance that I have forgotten. Remember you said this or you did this? Sometimes that is positive, but there has been some times that, you know, I've forgotten certain things, but she didn't forget because she saw me do things, you know. And so you do have to be careful and of the life you live in front of your children. And even as a single parent, just bringing that out, who you bring around your children. When you start to date, be very careful about who you are bringing around your children.
Exactly. I agree.
And don't set up that pattern of, again, you know, getting into a relationship with maybe somebody that may not be the best and then bringing them around your children. We have to be extra careful to protect our children for a variety of reasons.
Right. I agree with that.
Yeah. Well, Tabitha, unless you have some last minute, I think we have pretty much gave you some things to consider and to think about today.
Yes, and I hope you apply them.
And I hope you apply them. I really want to see us bring up children who are able to cope with life, who are able to move on when life knocks them down a little bit, who are able to dust themselves off and move on, who, if they make mistakes, can, you know, pick themselves up and keep pushing and correct the mistakes and do better. But we can only raise those kind of children if we are those kind of parents.
Right. I agree. Well, I hope this was so much helpful for you all, and you all have a blessed rest of the day, and we'll get back with you all next week. And thank you for listening to Soul in the City.
I want to thank you. This is Soul in the City, where we inspire you to go higher and higher in the spirit. You know, we just want to give you something to think about, something to chew on, and something to help us all be better. We want to empower all of us, not just you. A lot of times when we're presenting things for the program, we empower ourselves to do better. I'm leaving off the program. Have a very, very blessed week. Tabitha, thank you. I'm going to do Smokey Norville. Thank you, too, girl. Have a good week. But I know we'll talk. But have a good week.
Yes.
And this is Smokey Norville and Dear God. We're ending the program now. You have a very, very blessed week, everyone.
Take care.